Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. Happy New Year. I hope this year brings great joy, but also great wisdom, great direction from God for you in your life. I hope it's just a wonderful year. And now is the typical time to reflect on last year and to really think about this year, the things you want to do, the goals you may have. Now is the typical time to do those things. You know, New Year's resolutions and things of that sort. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big New Year's resolution kind of person. I don't know, because honestly, you know, there are things that don't always happen on the new year. You know, sometimes an amazing opportunity comes up in the middle of the year. I'm not going to wait until the new year to start it. So my resolution will begin then. So I, you know, that's just one of the reasons why I'm not a big New Year's resolution kind of person. But that doesn't mean we can't take the opportunity to stop and reflect and even have some resolutions. I would say my consistent message, especially for the new year, is always going to be whatever you did the year prior, up that by 10, 25, 45 times. Whatever number makes you uncomfortable, do it that much. If it's at 10 times, that's too hard, and that's already making you struggle, keep it there. See, life is about struggle. Life is about growth. Growth can't happen without struggle. I mean, you think of a person who works out, working out their muscles. What's happening? They're putting strain on their muscles. When you read, when you're studying, you're putting strain on your brain. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. And maybe last year it was already too much. Maybe you put 10 times on you, 10 times the struggle. But that doesn't mean you stop. If 10 times is already a lot, keep it there. And keep pushing and keep trying this year. The most amazing thing happens when you push yourself to your limit. Look, I promise you, if you can't do 5 push-ups, for example, go for as many as you can. If you can do 3, do 3. But I promise you that in time, you'll be able to do 4. A lot of times, you'll be able to do it within a day or a few days after that. How does that happen? Struggle. Struggle is the way we grow. So I want that to be a weird encouragement. It doesn't sound too encouraging. But I'm also going to be realistic. I want you to see life the way it really is. It's tough. And I'll say this too. Even if you're a religious person, Christian or Catholic, it doesn't matter. The struggle is there and it's going to happen. I urge you to accept it. Now, and one of our greatest weapons, probably the number one weapon, is love. You know, many of us lack in love. Many of us don't give love, don't know how to give love. It could be a mixture of all of them, some of them, one of them. I mean, if you look at the world and what it loves, it really isn't love. You watch TV and the things that it tells you to love and tells you to adore and want are not things to love, they're things to lust or to lust after. I mean, really think about this. We go on Instagram and compare ourselves to whoever, whether it's a friend or whether it's a celebrity that we're following. Facebook, Twitter, whatever else, we go there to compare ourselves. It is a common thing. I think everyone to some degree does this. Women, God bless you, but you look at other women and compare yourself. From hair to makeup to looks to weight, you are comparing yourself. What part of that is love? We as guys, we compare ourselves to athletes, to someone who has a fancy car or, you know, fancy clothes or whatever the case, right? We tend to compare ourselves. You're not evil. I think that's just you being human, and that's just what we do. But why do we do these things? That's the question, and that's what I want to answer today. I named the show How to Deal with Self-Esteem and Self-Hate on Purpose, because that is one of the main issues that we have today. And I'm going to explain more right after this.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris. I want to share with you some Bible verses. Because remember, our topic is how to deal with self-esteem and self-hate. And I will give you the answer directly. It is the issue of love. But we need the right perspective of love. So let's get right into that. Here's our first Bible verse. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I love how the psalmist really explains the different aspects of God's love for us, his people. He's merciful, he's gracious, slow to anger, and he's abounding. What is to abound? Something that is very large, huge amounts. So God is slow to anger, and he's got huge amounts, or he's huge in his steadfast or his steady love. Meaning his love doesn't waver for you. If he loves you, and that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about this. Let's take a second here and talk about God. The other day, someone asked me, Gary, you know, can you explain in one word? Can you describe God in one word? I said, of course I can. That's so easy. He said, oh my gosh, yeah, let me just sit down. Let me hear what is your word? I said, it's indescribable. I said, what? But yeah, you can't describe God. Are you kidding me? Number one, you can't describe God, period. And you're telling me to describe him in one word. That's the only possible word that fits there. He is indescribable. We have to understand, we can't fit God in a box. That's our problem. That's what we do. We try to fit God in this little box. You know, this box is called God is love, or this box is called, you know, fill in the blank. And that's an issue that you and I have. That's what we do, an attempt to put God in this little box as if we can truly understand him fully. And that's absolutely impossible. And that is actually a lie to say that we can fully describe God. I think we can describe God's aspects. We can describe certain things. We can see certain patterns that God has. But to describe God, how do you describe infinity? How do you describe something of no ends? How do you describe the creator of everything? You can't. And that's why he is God. He is absolute perfection. You know, Mary Poppins has nothing on Yahweh, obviously. You know, perfect in every way. Remember Mary Poppins? She's in the movie, she's considered perfect in every way. Mary Poppins is a joke. As much as I love Mary Poppins, she's a joke compared to Yahweh. So I say that. I wanted to explain, attempting to explain God for a purpose here. And let me keep reading here. Psalm 136:26 says, "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. His unwavering love, if he loves, and that's it. It will not change. He will love you no matter what." See, we have to understand this, and may I say it like this? We have to get this through our thick skulls, that it isn't what we do that made God love us. He loves us for who we are, the way we are, as broken as we are. You didn't do something to earn his love. He gave it to you. He loves you just the way you are. But what about this sin? Listen, he loves you with your sin. Do you understand that? Do you want proof? Jesus Christ, he sent his only son for the world that is broken. I mean, you know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." You know the Bible verse. He loves you. Now here's the issue is, will you accept, listen to me very carefully here, will you accept that? Some people will not accept it, and that's too bad. I urge you, I plead with you, accept it. It is absolute perfection, God, right? That has said, "I've chosen you and I love you just the way you are." Okay, fine. He might say, "You know what? I don't like that you might sin. I don't like that these bad things are happening, or you doing a bad thing," or whatever the case. But that doesn't change his unwavering love for you. In Psalm 139:14, he says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because he loves you. Every ounce of you, God loves. Every ounce. Even the dirty, broken, deformed, fill in the blank. He doesn't love less because you have problems. God doesn't work that way. Remember, he has steadfast love. It's an unwavering, unchanging type of love. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love." I mean, what kind of love is it that it quiets you? It has to be awe-inspiring, something beyond, so big that you're left speechless. That's the type of love that God has for you. His love was so big, abounding, right? That he was willing to make a sacrifice of his own son. I'm going to admit it, I could never sacrifice my own son. I just can't. But then again, I'm not God. God is God, not me. And thank God for him. And thank God for his son, Jesus Christ. And thank God for his plan to send his son for us. Why? Because he loves us. I can't make it any clearer than that. I told you I was going to talk about love today. And I really wanted to really drill that idea of God's love into your mind. For, actually, not even for that purpose, but for this purpose. And here's my question to you, my challenge. If God loves you this much, the absolute epitome of perfection, loves you, a steadfast, unmoving, unwavering type of love for you, Why can't you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Really think about that question. Do you love yourself? I'm not talking about a perverted, weird, selfish kind of love. I'm not talking about a love, more so a lust. I'm not talking about lusting. I'm not talking about only picking yourself first all the time, no matter what. No, the type of love I'm talking about is when Jesus says in Mark 12, verse 31, love your neighbor as yourself. That type of love. Jesus admits you love yourself, or you must love yourself. We have to understand, loving yourself is okay. Lusting after yourself is the problem. The whole point of this show, to deal with self-esteem and self-hate, is if God Almighty loves you so much, why can't you love yourself? You have no reason. If you're going to bring up what you can't do or how much you failed in life, we already dealt with that one. God has accepted you with all the filth and all the problems and everything else that you and I have. So if that's not a problem for God, why is it a problem for you? Which means, really think about this, my friend. I say this all in love, and you know my heart. You are being more judgmental than the Almighty Judge Himself, God. You're a harsher critic than God? I hope this message breaks that. I hope it puts into perspective, if God has accepted you, you can accept you. Look, and we're not talking, I want to be very, very clear about this. I'm not talking about lusting after yourself. What I'm saying is love yourself regardless of your sin, your problems, your addictions. Love yourself, but work on your addictions. Work on where you falter. Remember how I started this message today? Life is a struggle, and get in there and struggle. You have addictions, you have problems, deal with it. But none of those, not a single one of those issues that you have are a reason not to love yourself, not to accept yourself. You don't have to accept the fault, but you can accept yourself. But here's the big picture. It's not just me, I'm accepting myself, yay, hug myself. We're not talking about that. Because if you can accept yourself, you can deal with yourself a lot better. Think about it. You will be less of a critic. You won't be as harsh. You'll have more mercy, so God's Spirit can flow through you much better. Think about it. If you don't love yourself, how do you love someone else? My friend, that's unhealthy. That's what we call codependence. I don't love myself. I'm going to love somebody else instead, and that's where I'm going to find my happiness. That's just unhealthy. Again, it's called codependence. No, we don't want codependence. We want an interdependence, where I depend on myself, but I also depend on others for certain things. If God Almighty loves you the way you are, you have no reason not to love yourself the way you are. Zero reasons. My friend, loving yourself is going to help you understand God's love even better. You'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better employee. You'll be a better boss. You'll be a better everything. You got to be nice to yourself. And shall I say it again? We are not talking about a lustful, lying, cheating, stealing, hey, I'm good, I'm better than you type of attitude. That's lustful. That's not love. That's greed. That's selfishness. That's putting yourself before others in a very unhealthy way. No, no. Rather, what I'm saying is this. The idea that I'm trying to tell you is no different than when you're on a plane, when they're running through the whole safety procedures with you, and God forbid, if the air masks were to come down, the rule is you put yours on first, and then you put on your child's. The logic behind that is I'm no good if I put on the air mask for the child, and I don't have an air mask. I can help a lot more people if I can have an air mask, if I can breathe. But if I have no air, or if I don't love myself, I can't help a single soul. It's that idea, that type of love. I hope I'm making this very clear. But you know, Satan, you know, he's a great tempter. He is. I don't like to give him credit for anything, but he's excellent at being evil. I don't think I'm lying. But he's excellent at ruining. He is by far the best. If there was an award to give him the award of pure evil, obviously he gets it, right? But even though Satan is a tempter, what we're doing is what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds." That's what we're attempting to do right now. We want to destroy these false ideas. Verse 5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion." I like how the King James will say it. It says, "Casting down imaginations." I really like the way it says it. I love the idea. We cast down imaginations. See, the thing with Satan is this. Yeah, he's pure evil, but he's powerless. Do you understand? He can't tempt you. Look, it's no different than driving and seeing a billboard. The billboard is there to tempt you, but you have the choice to be tempted or not, to do it or not, to exit or not. See, we forget that. And that's what we want to do. We want to cast down these imaginations. Another imagination that we have is we believe we have to be extra hard on ourselves. No, we don't. Sure, be strict in certain things. Have good discipline, of course. But calling yourself names or calling somebody names, it doesn't work. At best, it'll work for a while. You know, let me just give you one example. You know, getting one or two or three bad grades in a class doesn't make you stupid. But it's amazing how quickly we will call ourselves stupid or dumb or other horrible names. When almost always the truth is that you're just lacking in something. There's just something you're not understanding. Maybe you need extra help in this certain subject. I think that's everyone. I think everyone has their strong suits and their weak ones. But that's everybody on earth. Doesn't make everyone on earth dumb. They just lack. So rather than, for example, here's the type of self-love I'm talking about. Rather than saying, "Geez, I'm so stupid, what an idiot I am," self-love would speak this way. "Wow, you know, I'm getting some bad grades here. Hey, I've gotten bad grades for the last month. I don't like this. This isn't good. What can I do about it? What am I lacking? There's something I'm missing here. Let me look into this." That's self-love. I'm not going to put myself down. Again, these are just simple examples I'm bringing up. There's a lot more serious ones that you guys can bring up, you know, or think of on your own. But let's destroy these imaginations that Satan attempts to attack us or tempt us with. We don't have to bite. We don't have to believe it. Well, let me just finish the verse here. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And that's what we're doing here. To finish, it says, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. All of our thoughts have to run through the knowledge of God. Remember, the world has its ideas. The world wants you to believe you're less than, you're not good enough. God says you are good enough. In fact, you're already accepted if you believe in Christ. The world says you're fat, you're ugly, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, your hair's too long. Grow a beard, don't grow a beard. I mean, the gamut of things. God says, I like you just the way you are. You're great. I chose you. I didn't choose you because of the way you look. I chose you because you are who you are. So this is what I urge of you this year. That you learn to love primarily the way God loves us. Broken and everything else with it. And number two, walk that walk. Work on loving yourself. And your defense is God loves me. If absolute perfection loves me, then I have no reason not to love myself. Number two, walk that walk. Share that message with others. Let other people know that they're loved too. Let them see, let them understand that God, the absolute perfect one, loves them and wants them. See, I can't walk this walk for you. You've got to walk your own walk just like I'm walking my own. Stumbling and all, you walk it. My friend, God loves you. So I urge you to love yourself. And let's see what God does with that. Happy New Year, and God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464, or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.
My friends, this show is made possible because of supporters like you. See, my friend, this message isn't just for you, but it's also for others, and there's others who will not be able to hear it. But if you can support us today, that's going to help us and assist us in getting this message out. My aspect of the ministry is doing my best to give you what God has given me. Your aspect is to help support this ministry. And by you supporting, we can get this out further, you know, down the line, perhaps even make it a longer show. We're actually working on adding video to the show, but we can only do it with your support. Will you be the one that will show support to this ministry? Please go to finallyalive.com/give. That's finallyalive.com/give. We appreciate your support to help keep this ministry going worldwide. Again, we thank you.